Bowman. Our engineer tonight is Liam Delta. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by typing in KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Robert Barncourt.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7 it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Linda Olsen Osterlund guest hosts Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Her guest is Andy Worthington, author and activist. They'll discuss the Guantanamo closure countdown and the anti-Brexit fight in Britain. At 9, it's Political Perspectives. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's The Digital Divide with Rabia Yeaman. Thanks, KBOO members, for all your generous support. Please tune in on July 14th, 1 week from today, for our KBOO-a-thon, a one-day membership drive with great special programs.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Beaverton, Oregon is one of the most diverse cities in the state, with one of five residents born in another country and one in three residents a person of color. KBOO's John Shuck has this in-depth report about Beaverton's response to these demographic changes.
The city of Beaverton is stepping up its efforts to be more welcoming to its diverse population. Megan Cohen works in the Beaverton's mayor's office as a cultural inclusion specialist with the Cultural Inclusion Program.
So the Cultural Inclusion Program is part of the mayor's office in the city of Beaverton and also part of the Division of Public Involvement and Communication. And our goal is really to help the city of Beaverton become increasingly welcoming, inclusive, representative, and responsive to historically underrepresented and underserved communities, particularly communities of color, immigrants, and refugees.
She's one of two staff members whose job is a combination of policy work and outreach to communities of color.
There's two of us currently working in the program, so as we find different initiatives to work on, we go after them.
How did the Cultural Inclusion Program get started?
Mayor Denny Doyle has been really, really supportive of these initiatives, and he's the one who really helped this position that's now the Cultural Inclusion Program position be established and to get some of this work started. And he's actually the one who brought some of our welcoming work that we do as well back from a conference and got that started as well. So the program's been around for since around 2009, and just in the last couple years, we've been able to see more policy and some more outreach to communities of color.
Beaverton has been changing dramatically in regards to demographics over the past several decades. According to research from the mayor's office, the largest communities of color are Latinos and then Asian and Pacific Islanders. Each makes up about 1/6 of Beaverton's population. By 2020, the Latino population is projected to be nearly a quarter of Beaverton's population. Certain parts of Beaverton contain some of the highest concentrations of Asians in the state.
I grew up in Beaverton, and it's become increasingly diverse since even I was a kid there. So right now, about 1 in 3 is a person of color, 1 in 5 is foreign-born, and in the Beaverton School District, we have over 99 languages spoken in the homes of students. So very diverse.
Cultural inclusion specialist Megan Cohen said that 28% of Beaverton residents speak another language than English at home, and that 1 in 12 residents are not fully fluent in English.
One of the big pieces that comes from Title VI, which is the part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, is around language access and really making sure that regardless of your level of English, you're able to access the same programs and services at the city of Beaverton. So in the last year, we've really made an effort to get a policy passed in October 2015 that recognized the language needs in our community and to start doing some work around providing language services.
So what are some of the specifics of that language program?
There's a couple different pieces. One, of course, is ensuring translation for some of our really vital documents that we have in the city and letting people know that they have the right to have those documents translated. Another is interpretation. So anytime someone comes into the city, they're able to, whether it's with a bilingual staff person or through Language Line, able to communicate what they need and to have that information communicated back. And kind of throughout that, as I've hinted, is just really knowing that they have that right to language access and services.
In January 2015, the City Council published a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Plan. This 26-page plan was created by the Diversity Advisory Board, a permanent 13-member board that advises the Mayor's Office and the City Council. This plan, the Advisory Board, and the Cultural Inclusion Program are responses to the need for Beaverton to address these demographic changes. These challenges include language access, housing, and economic disparity. According to the report, over half of the white population owns their home in Beaverton, compared to just one-third of the populations of color. A greater percentage of people of color live with unaffordable rental and mortgage payments every month. Communities of color fare worse across all poverty indicators in Beaverton. Families of color have 3.5 times the rate of poverty as white families.
It's a pretty big plan. It was actually put together by the Diversity Advisory Board, which is one of the city's boards and commissions. And they were really focused on identifying some goal areas for the city around diversity, equity, and inclusion. So there's a couple priority areas, one of which is actually language access. And another one that we talk about really often and that you brought up was economic opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. So there's different goal areas with actions. Not all of them are actions that we can complete on our own, but that we need to involve partners in to help us get the work done.
Leadership access is a key to change. The Cultural Inclusion Program initiated BOLD, which stands for Beaverton Organizing and Leadership Development.
What it really aims to do is help develop leadership within Beaverton, especially with our immigrant and refugee community leaders. And we've seen them go on to do really great things. We have quite a few who are participating on Beaverton boards and commissions now, including the Diversity Advisory Board, and have taken other roles either through organizing or through other organizations in the community. So it's a great program.
In March 2016, the Diversity Advisory Board drafted a resolution to declare support for the Muslim community and reaffirm Beaverton as a welcoming city. The resolution asked the city to, quote, celebrate the diversity that is represented in our city and to make extra efforts to ensure the safety of our Muslim, immigrant, and refugee neighbors.
They really felt it was a response to some of the rhetoric that was happening nationally and a couple of the events that had happened recently. And especially in keeping with the Welcoming Beaverton and Welcoming Week, they wanted to really reaffirm the stance that we had taken as a city to be open and welcoming to our whole community, including Muslim populations during this time.
Do you see tensions? Is there in Beaverton?
I think it's been difficult with the city rapidly diversifying, and I don't think it's necessarily as much as tension, but as an opportunity in which everyone is trying to learn and to connect and to understand each other better. And there've been a lot of really great outreach with the community and the community at large, too. So the Ramadan Tent Project was a great example of the Islamic Center of Portland really wanting to share Ramadan and their culture during this season. And also, one of our immigrant integration mini grants is for an open house at the Islamic Center of Portland and with the Vos Neighborhood Association. So there's a lot of work going on just to share and to bring more understanding. And I think as that work continues, hopefully we see this community really be the welcoming community it is.
One of the ways to begin to break down some of the disparities is to get people together and raise awareness. Welcoming Week is one initiative to do that.
It is. So it's an initiative of Welcoming America, which is really focused on bringing together immigrant and non-immigrant community members in a spirit of unity and really celebrating the different things that immigrants do bring to our community, both cultural, economic, linguistically. There's a lot of great benefits they bring. So last year, we actually celebrated the first Welcoming Week in September, and we did the Beaverton Night Market. We had a citizenship ceremony, which was a lot of fun, and a couple of other events as well that really work around these themes of bringing our community together.
Megan Cohen talked about some of the specific things happening this year.
This year we have an African cooking class that's going to happen. There's going to be bubble tea preparation and just a really great range of different events and opportunities to learn about different cultures in Beaverton. And with 99 different languages spoken, you can imagine there's a lot of diversity to share in food and sports and all different areas. So it's exciting.
A successful event during Welcoming Week last year was the Beaverton Night Market. Over 4,500 people attended.
We're offering it twice, and we also heard a lot of feedback about making it bigger. So there's about three times the space and about twice as many vendors as well, with a lot more food vendors. The lines were very long for food last year, so we want to make sure everyone gets a chance to try all the great food.
So what are the dates on that and the place?
The dates are July 23rd and August 13th. They're both Saturdays. They run from 6 to 10 p.m., and it's right in the round, right in front of City Hall, and off of the central Beaverton MAC stop.
This year, 40 different vendors will participate.
There's going to be about 14 hot food vendors, 26 craft art merchandise vendors, and then we're going to have rotating performers that are going to be on the stage there in the round as well. So last year we had Imbruscatu, which was a huge hit, and this year we also have Dina y los Rumberos, which is a salsa band. So that should be a lot of fun to see what they can bring. If anyone was there last year, a lot of the vendors that were there are going to be returning again. So we have Ome Kali, which offers really great frozen treats. And we also have Midnight Oils, which gives soaps and lotions and crafts that they've created by hand. And also Karam Lebanese and Deli, which has amazing Lebanese food. They're in Beaverton. They have a storefront as well. And it's exciting. I think one of the new vendors that we have is actually embroidery from Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're called Siddiqui Textiles. And one of the neat things about the textiles that they create is that it's really an integral part of the daily life in Afghanistan and Pakistan. So they're able to bring that embroidery here. It's made by girls and women for personal use and to adorn their homes. And it's made actually by recent refugees from the Afghan community. So it's really neat that they're able to bring that and to offer it at the night market this year.
Megan Cohen said that there have been many successes already with the cultural inclusion program.
Another policy that was approved was our minority women and emerging small business purchasing policy that really puts an emphasis on on buying from local small businesses that are certified in the minority women or emerging small business categories. And there's also a veteran piece as well.
And challenges ahead?
And I think one of the areas is maybe thinking about how we can do more economic development around some of the businesses that participate in the Beaverton Night Market and really support them to become really successful in the community, and so that we can see them thrive and continue to be there.
That was Megan Cohen, Cultural Inclusion Specialist from the Mayor's Office in Beaverton. The night market dates this year are July 23rd and August 13th in the Beaverton Round. Welcoming week will be September 16th through the 25th. For more information about the events and the Cultural Inclusion Program, go to beavertonoregon.gov. I'm John Shuck for KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
Take it from me, someday we'll all be free.
Join us Sunday night, July 10th, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. for Soul Music and Politics. We will celebrate the life and music of Mr. Donny Hathaway. We will also deconstruct the at-large voting process in Multnomah County and Portland, Oregon that keeps the status quo power elite in power. Sunday night for Soul Music and Politics, July 10th from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. on KBOO.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of One Flaming Arrow Intertribal Film Festival 2016, bringing Native American and Indigenous independent film to Portland, Oregon, July 28th through the 31st. Opening night at Clinton Street Theater with showings through the weekend at Hollywood Theater and Rainmaker Gallery. Please consider supporting independent media. More information can be found at oneflamingarrow.com.